Welcome to another Colour and Load Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.
Now, Sean, Steve Smith, what are you...
Legend.
Oh, unbelievable. 12 months out of the game, and he comes back, and what did he get? Something like 774 runs in the Ashes against England, yet he missed three innings.
It was amazing. Like, as a casual observer, I did... Like, the Ashes always catches... You know, I mean, I'm not a dying cricket... Fan,
but you're a sports fan.
Yeah. But the Ashes always sort of catch your attention. And
Bit like Wimbledon, isn't it?
Well, I put the Ashes above Wimbledon.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think cricket. I prefer cricket over tennis.
Oh, gee.
But, yeah, that's just me. I don't want to upset tennis people, you know.
Well, you've already upset basketball.
The great thing was, is that it was at a time when we could watch it. And interesting enough, my wife actually took a lot of interest in it too, because it was, one, it was such a great series. It was so competitive and close. And it was, you know, I wouldn't stay up all night, but you'd sort of watch as much as you could. And then the first thing in the morning, I'd get up and check the highlights and check the scores and see how we went. But Steve Smith certainly seemed to be the difference. I mean, without him, you probably think England would have probably won the Ashes.
Yeah. And I'm not surprised your wife, Sharon, has a very big sporting background. So, yeah, I can see why she's interested.
Well, she normally hates cricket. Like, if I have the cricket on in summer, which we often do have it in the background watching it, and not really, you know, seeing as you come in and out, she would have a go at me. So, but at one, she said, oh, let's put the cricket on. And that's when we were chasing a score and Steve Smith was batting. And so, it's certainly, I think he has captured many people's imagination. Of course, as you said, after that 12-month suspension, he's sort of come back and all's been forgotten almost.
Yeah, well...
From the English
supporters. No, the Barmy Army, they gave him heaps. And the only time they really applauded him was when he got out for his last score, 23 in the last innings, because they wanted to show some respect for what a wonderful series he had.
Well, I think that was an interesting... Warner and Smith certainly got a lot of stick, which is fair enough. I mean, it's part of the game. But Smith obviously rose above that. Warner might have had a bit more. He seemed to obviously didn't bat as well. So whether that was part of it,
I don't know.
He
got 61 and one hit out, but the rest were...
He really did struggle. But you could sense that the English crowd were actually saying, hang on, this guy is bloody good. And they did, in the end, have that respect for him and, you know, that... At the end of the presentation, when he was
Man of the Series,
there was obviously a real shift from the beginning of the series till then. And I think people just recognise that, hey, this is a great cricketer and he's played a fantastic series and support him in that sense.
Well, let's just analyse the series. I mean,
well, you are the stats man.
Well, you've labelled me that several times, so I suppose...
Well, you are. I'm not the stats man. You are the stats man.
Well, just quickly going through the five test series, I mean... In the first test, Australia got up and they won with a fantastic effort in the second innings. But Steve Smith got 144 in the first innings and 142 in the second innings. So you could say he carried us to that victory.
Well, he did. What were the scores? I mean, I think he made almost half the runs in the first innings, didn't he? Was that right?
Well, in the first innings, he got 144 and Australia got 284, so just over half.
And then we did bat much. With our second innings was much, much better.
Well, 7 for 487. I mean, and his 142 is just a really good contribution. Whereas it was life saving in the first innings.
Yes.
You know, without that, what would have happened? Now the second test was fairly evenly poised and ended up as a draw. But Smith, he got hit in the noggin and he got.
That was nasty, wasn't it?
Oh, it was terrible. And he went to get attention. He ended up coming back. He was out for 92, but he didn't bat in the second innings. So that's one innings he's missed out.
So they worked out how to get rid of him.
And then in the third test, of course, without him playing, but that's an amazing test. England won that test with only 67 runs. 67 in the first innings.
That first innings, unbelievable. The Australian bowlers, they were just fabulous.
But all credit to England, because Australia were out for 179, which was still a really good lead. And in the second innings, they had 246. So they had a really big target. And England reached it to 9 for 362. So hats off to them.
Oh, no, that was fabulous. And, again, going to bed that night thinking, yeah, we're okay. And waking up in the morning to find that wasn't the case. So, yeah, England obviously played very well. Who was it that made the runs on that one? Who was the English batsman? Can you remember?
just off the top of my head, I can't remember. Broad.
Was Broad. It Broad?
Yeah, yeah. I think it was.
He was a bowler, wasn't he? Broad's a bowler.
Yeah, but I think he came on and scored some runs. But yeah, but at the end of the day, unfortunately, I'm an Aussie, mate, and I can tell you the Aussies, but...
No, you got to give credit where, and that was, yeah, that was a great innings.
No, it was. Now, he came back, Smith came back for the fourth test, and really, we needed to win that to retain the Ashes. And he scored 211 runs in the first innings, a score of 497, 8 for 497. He got 211, and England was bowled out for 301. So we're in the box seat. We got 6 for 186, and Smith got 82 of those runs. And we bowled England out for 197. So we won the fourth test, which ensured that we retained the Ashes. But there was still a fifth test. And in the fifth test, England ended up winning it. They outplayed us. But Smith got 80 in the first innings, which was his sixth consecutive 50, which was a record. And then he got out for 23, his lowest score. The only time he didn't get 50 runs. So I just can't believe he got 774 runs. He averaged 110.5. And it was just absolute deserving man of the series. You couldn't name anyone else but him.
No, and I think not only, obviously, the amount of runs that he scored, also took some fabulous catches as well. But you could just see, I mean, again, I'm not, you know, I'm just watching as a casual observer, but I thought the English bowlers actually had the wood over most of our batsmen for most of the series, but... They didn't really have an answer for Smith. And when you saw other people really struggling to even play balls, but he just seems to be able to, whatever the situation, whatever the bowler, he just has ways of dealing with them and just keeps scoring. And he's not always, he just does it in a very different way, doesn't he, the way he goes about his cricket.
One thing that is very interesting, he batted 7 innings and he was out all 7 times. So they can get him out, but obviously it takes a while.
It takes a little bit of while, and they get a bit of luck.
Yeah, a little bit of luck on a couple of them. But, you know, let's have a comparison. The last Ashes series that Smith played, he was captain back in 17-18 in Australia.
And it strikes me again. He always, again, back, I just remember, like, he seems to always step up, and not always do the captains step up and make runs. I mean, look at Joe Root. He's sort of got a bit of stick over there, hasn't he, from losing or not winning the Ashes. But he was, even as a captain, he seemed to be able to really play and focus and concentrate and make a lot of runs. He never threw away his opportunity.
No, he was a real leader in that sense on the field, and that's what you need in a captain. And I suppose the question now is, will he sort of get the captaincy back again?
Well, that is interesting, because you'd have to think no, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
But it's, I mean, it wasn't that long ago when we had the cheating, the sandpaper scandal, whatever you want to call it. I mean, that was a lot of stuff going on. Those guys really got hauled over the coals, not only in the media, but social media was out of control. And they sort of had to fall on their swords in the end. And then I thought there was a real overreaction, to be honest. And we have spoken about that before. But, you know, when they were coming back, there was still chat about should they come back, is it right, and so on. But it's almost like, okay, well, he's back. People sort of forgotten how good he is. And now his innings really saved Australia. And it's almost like that's forgotten. So maybe there is a chance that he could be considered for captain again. Or do you think that that's sort of gone? Won't happen?
Look, there is also a school of thought that because he wasn't captain this time, it took the pressure off and he was able to do what he did. But back in 17-18 when he was captain, in that particular series, he scored 687 runs, 3 centuries, a couple of 50s. He averaged 137.4 because, you know, obviously he had a couple of not-outs there. And that's very comparable with this one, but you must remember he played in all the tests back in Australia, and this one he missed 3 innings. So if he had the 3 innings,
gone close to 1,000 runs.
Yeah, he would have broken Don Bradman's record, I reckon. Everyone's comparing this season at the Ashes series to Don Bradman at his best.
Well, isn't it like, I mean, Don, everyone knows Don. I mean, Don Bradman's average was, not, we know, 99.4 or whatever it was. Like, what is Steve Smith's average?
Well, it's gone up to 64.56 from 68 tests, which includes 26 centuries.
Wow. And where does that rank now? So, I mean,
second. Second to Don Bradman.
So that, how can there be such a difference?
It's pretty tough. There are other guys, the 50s and 60s. I think Bib Richardson was up there, and a couple of the guys from India and these types of people. But just at the tail end of their careers, they dip a little bit. So you can expect Steve Smith perhaps will dip. And there's another interesting question, the longevity. And the man's 30 years old now.
30 years old.
So he's going to last 5 to 10 years. But, you know, the wear and tear for
2020,
one day tests. I mean, there's a lot of cricket on the agenda.
Which is great for the cricketers, great opportunity, and obviously great for your bank balance, I imagine.
Oh, yeah. I mean, all the top cricketers in the world are all multimillionaires now, for sure.
You know, well, you think, I mean, he's probably got another good 5 years in him then.
Yeah.
You'd think, wouldn't you? 5 years?
I think at his peak, he's probably got another 5 years to continually do what he's doing at the moment. And I think he's still got another 5 years on top of that as a good, solid cricketer where he can still average over 50. So I can see his average, finishing somewhere between 58 to 62 sort of for his career. That's a sort of, when you look at where he's at now and where he could be in 10 years' time, I'm thinking that, that's, you can expect him to be around about 60. And I think one of the West Indies guys is about 60. So it's really up there, isn't it?
That's fabulous. I mean, he really just said he was just outstanding in this series. And I just think looking at the way that the tests went, if he was not playing, it would have been a very, very different story. And I thought our bowlers bowled very, very well. And so now we really are probably the... We must be. I know we've got the number one ranked bowler with Cummins, and we've got number one ranked batsman with Smith. Are we the? We must be ranked.
I know.
A test team now.
No, England and Australia were ranked like 3 and 4.
Oh, okay.
But it's still the biggest rivalry in Test cricket for sure. I mean, India's sort of right up there, and there's other cricketing nations. South Africa have their moments. So there's. It basically, I think it's worked out on the last two times that you play each of the other countries. So I think that's how they work it out, and that's how they get their rankings.
And I did love the crowd were great, weren't they? I mean, English crowds are so funny.
Yeah.
We do all the dressing up, but I love just the banter and the chanting and the songs that they come up with. And, I mean, of course, the Barmy Army come over here when we play them in summer and run riot a bit. But they certainly seem to enjoy... Even though there was some fun times when, especially when Steve Smith was batting, they quieten them down a little bit.
Well, the thing is, it all makes atmosphere, doesn't it? You need the supporters there. You need all that colour. You need all that voice. You need the players playing good cricket, and the whole mix was there for this wonderful Ashes series. And to see that Steve Smith was the giant among such a good crowd, it just sort of augurs well for the future of Ashes.
I think the other thing, that point, is that Test cricket has sort of been getting a bit of a backseat, hasn't it? A lot of criticism because it's a slower game, a longer game. But I think this series probably has really sparked some interest and shown that Test cricket can be. And so a really exciting concept, especially when I think in both cases the captains made some really good calls to declare and really have a go at winning the game rather than just saying, oh, we'll settle for a draw. And that's what I liked about it. There was some really exciting cricket and you kept you on the edge of your seat wondering, is this possible? And so I think that's done a great... It's been great for Test cricket in that sense.
You know, in a way, it sort of reminds me of the way AFL footy's played today compared to the way cricket was played at Test level in the past where it was about defending, whereas nowadays... And the cricket seemed to be on the attack the way football used to be many years ago. So it's interesting to look at that defence against attack mentality in sports.
And now maybe the shorter versions has changed that because they do have a different mindset.
Yep.
Because obviously those games you have to go out and bat and make runs quickly. And of course the bowlers have to think about how they can get batsmen out quickly. So maybe that's been a good thing for Test cricket.
Well, the positive that's come out of the Ashes series is there's been a reinvigoration in people wanting to experience the cricket. So hopefully it'll be a good summer out here in Australia.
I hope so. And I think for Australian cricket too, because it wasn't a bit of a lull. And then with the suspensions of Warner and Smith really sort of almost, there was a lot going on, wasn't there? Cricket were in dire straits. And so I think this series has really sort of allowed people to think about cricket a little bit differently.
That's been good. So ends another Carlin Lowe Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
Sean Carlin.